Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And welcome to episode 87 of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
What are we talking about?
Eric was here.
Oh, yeah. But Eric was here.
He died, basically. So rest in peace, Eric.
His computer died.
And since we don't see Eric in real life, he's dead.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a quick moment of silence. All right.
that was, I think, all he deserved. Yeah. You're right. So
that's
all he's earned.
Yeah.
He booked us a cottage that tried to kill people. So that's all he needs.
Yeah. Today, we're going to talk about
Montreal Canadiens, New York Islanders, Vancouver Canucks, and how they're all pretty bad. The Phaneuf retiring, the Penguins being sold, the Hockey Hall of Fame, who got in, who should be in at this point probably, and then sends COVID. I know that's a lot of things, so we might not get to all of it, but those are the things that we ideally want to get to.
Eric's not here, so I mean, we're going to get sidetracked.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Oh, that is a... Yeah. If you are watching the video, or if you post the video, Martin just drank a sip from what looked like a hockey skate.
It is.
Cup. It is.
Oh, it is a hockey skate cup.
And he stole it from Kelsey's.
Wow, that is quite the boot.
It is.
Did you get that at Kelsey's, or is that like from a thrift
shop? That looks like something you steal from them.
Yeah, I think I stole it from Kelsey's back in uni.
Cops. I'm calling the FBI. Well, the FBI doesn't exist in Canada. I'm calling the
RCMP.
Royal Mounted Police.
RCMP.
Yeah. So I think we should start off with what everyone's been talking about on my Twitter feed this week, which is the Vancouver Canucks. I think everyone is fed up from what I've seen. Other than Thomas Drantz, I think is the name of the guy out there, who seems to be getting targeted. What are your thoughts on the Vancouver Canucks?
I think it's crazy.
I heard the owners.
Yeah.
The owner went on this trip. Eric's back.
Oh, brother.
Oh, is this going to house
things up? Oh, Eric. Well, remember what I said, Eric died.
Can this happen?
I don't know. We'll have to figure it out after, but I mean, I imagine it should be fine.
Looks like it should be fine.
I don't know if Eric can talk though.
Eric, speak.
No.
Did you save the other clips, Luke, or do I have to do a new intro? Okay.
No. Well, we're just gonna get back in there with Eric being here.
Yeah.
We'll start.
I said
talking
Eric was dead. We got everyone's hopes up, but Eric's here.
Eric's back.
Unfortunately,
Eric
for
is
everyone.
Unfortunately back. I was really looking forward to him not dominating the conversation this week, but I mean, here
you
we
know
are.
What? I'll just be quiet today.
You'll just be quiet. Okay, today?
I'm sure you will.
Because you're frozen and stuff.
I don't believe that. For
I'm frozen again. Stop.
No, you're here. Eric.
No, you're fine.
I see.
You're here. You're here.
Okay.
Good. What the first thing we're going to talk about is the Vancouver Canucks and how bad they are. So, Ty, go ahead.
Why did anyone think they were going to be good? Is my question.
Yeah.
Nobody thought they were going to be good.
I don't know.
Remember what you said? Did you like 30
now
seconds ago?
Up. Now I'm shutting up.
So, like, I don't know how. Firstly, it was ridiculous. Jim Benning got his extension. Began a bit before the year began, right? Everyone laughed about it. Remember when he came? He's been there. It's crazy to think about it. He's been there since 2014, and 2014 was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And yes, what he did was dug them into a cap mess. Since the Sedins retired, it's been an embarrassment of a franchise. Like, they had Elias Pettersson. They drafted him. He sucks now. Quinn Hughes is okay.
Yeah, what
JT
happened?
Miller is okay.
Play hockey. Apparently.
What happened with Pettersson?
Like, he's just bad. I don't know how to explain it, but he's just become really bad.
Eric, what do your advanced analytics and microsat say about? No, if I point the question to you, you can answer it.
Oh, okay, so I'm allowed to talk now.
Only when I say that you can.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I'm a dictator.
The combination of Pettersson and Besser have just been terrible this year. Both have been like completely useless offensively.
Hey, JT Miller's been sick though.
So. Yeah, and that's the weirdest thing because JT Miller's killing it. So it's not like, you know, nobody on Vancouver is capable of performing. So, you know, JT Miller's, you know, been one of the best players in the league this year so far. And I think Martin has him in fantasy.
I have him in two fantasies.
Yeah, there you go. So Martin had a good call and Martin gone really late too, but besides the point. They just aren't, I don't know what it is. Like I don't have like a reason for Pettersson being bad, which is, you know, rare for me because I always think I can come up with the reason whether it's right or not.
At least you're aware. This is the most self-awareness I've ever seen from Eric.
Wasn't it you guys that sent something in the group saying like it literally just seems like you forgot how to play? I see that somewhere?
I don't know.
No. What I sent was some guy being like, I figured it out. This isn't Pettersson. It's because he got his vaccine and it changes your DNA.
Oh, no.
That's the one that I sent.
Oh, yeah.
I saw some guy that literally said, it looks like he's forgot how to play.
I mean, it just looks like he's not good. Like, I don't want to say motivation, but like, it just feels like he isn't like there fully. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
This guy just re-signed. Like, let's be
careful. Had to. I mean, it's not like anyone thought he was just going to.
I mean, he should. Yeah. Nobody thought he was going to. I mean, it's still what? 15?
Oh, no. I don't
20
mean like,
games into the season. It's
I don't
not
think
like,
he's going to be bad. I just mean this guy set, like, signed to be with the shitty team of the Vancouver Canucks.
It's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's more what I meant than the fact that, Vancouver is now locked into this guy because he and who doesn't know how to play hockey.
But like, you also look at it this offseason. They traded for Ekman Larson. They signed Tucker Poolman. What else did they do?
But Ekman Larson hasn't completely.
I mean,
sucked.
We don't even need to start with like. I feel like the Vancouver story has been going on for 7 years now. Right. So like why not start with his first like disastrous offseason, which was 2016 free agency. Right.
Louis Erickson,
Jay Beagle, Antoine Roussel. I think those are the big three, taking up like a $15 million combined between the three of them almost.
I think Jay Beagle was later. I think Jay Beagle was like
No, I think it was the same offseason.
Because Jay Beagle won the cup with the Washington Capitals, which was 2018, 2017.
Betting must have
been wrong, regardless.
Betting must have like mind control, because like I understand giving a GM like 5 years to see if his 5-year plan works. But yeah. It's been fucking 7 years and nothing's working.
And it's like,
and he's making bad moves. Like he's just making visibly bad moves. And it's like anyone in the hockey world could be like, no, that was a stupid move.
Because it's so funny when he started, he's like, because that's when Vancouver was kind of entering the rebuild. It was just after, you know, Luongo's prime and, you know, the Sedin's prime. They were, you know, reaching the end of their career. So he came in 2014 after they fired, what's his name? Gillis? Yeah, they fired Gillis.
Yeah.
They brought in Benning. And he was supposed to be the draft king. 2014 draft passes on Ehlers and Nylander and drafts Jake Virtanen. That started the downfall, I guess, from day one.
So it's all Jake Virtanen's fault.
I mean, that was the first move that he made, essentially, right? When you think about it.
It was the first thing he did, yeah.
And almost everyone you see, well.
Almost everyone you see touted as like top scouts and draft like kings are notoriously not great drafters. Like Mark Hunter was one in Toronto, Jim Benning. There's probably other, a couple other names, but most of these guys that say they have good scout eyes don't actually, when you look at their track record.
Yeah, a lot of GMs get hired as scouts and then turn out to not be actually that great at scouting. Like even Pierre Dorion, like, you know, but I'd say before the last, like, let's say two to three years, I'd say he was actually a pretty great or pretty good drafter. And then I think somehow it just all fell apart within the last like 2 years. And you look at Ottawa,
attribute it to McGuire.
No, I mean, it was even last year.
McGuire wasn't there long enough to fully, like, completely change the draft strategy, right? Like, he might have had some say on the edges, but I don't think he walked in there and completely, because he only he signed like right before the draft, right? So,
and you also
got to
look at the 2020 draft was bad.
Yeah, and the 2020 draft was brutal too, outside of basically their first pick. Right. So they switched
to Dorion, but we need.
Sorry. But anyways, it's just an example of Luke's overall point, which is that a lot of these guys that get touted as drafters aren't actually that great. And the guys that don't get touted as much just are sneaky behind the scenes that are actually doing a great job. Like the real secret isn't that Benning was a good drafter and drafted Pettersson and Hughes. It was the head of scouting for the Canucks who left to go to Minnesota and then built one of the best prospect pools in Minnesota since he moved. I forget his name. I'm
Judd
sure.
Brackett.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. So Judd Brackett, Minnesota low key right now, or maybe not so low key, as the best prospect pool in the NHL. Right. So to get back onto the Benning point, Benning
good.
Actually, exactly. And they're good. So I don't think Benning was the reason behind some of Vancouver's best drafting moves. And I think the best drafting moves in Vancouver were probably, you know, Nils Höglander, Brock Besser, Elias Pettersson, and Quinn Hughes, right? That's kind of it, I think, generally
and
speaking.
And I think that Vancouver is like really, I don't know how to describe it, but like they give the GM a lot of like a leash. Like the fans didn't really seem like they turned on Benning when the rest of the other fans of across the NHL are like, what is this guy doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like you look at it, it's been 7 years now and they've
I saw this tweet the other day about who, like, all the Canadian GMs in their different tenure, and then it's Jim Benning and Bradshaw Living, I think, are the two of the most tenured, or at least high up there. And it's like Kyle Dubas that always has the shortest leash. Meanwhile, he actually has like a pretty good track record for the most part.
At least in the regular season.
Yeah, at least in the regular season. And then Benning and Trey Living have done like not much.
But is playoffs his fault even?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say it's his fault. He's done everything, or not everything right, but generally speaking, he hasn't done anything where you would look at that and go, it's atrocious.
Yeah,
you just got Kyle Clifford back. That's a great change.
But to look at, because Benning said basically by year three he wanted to be competitive again when he came into the job in 2014, and their standing points since then have been in 2017, 2018, 73 points. The next year, 81 points. The next year, it was COVID shortened, year of COVID. So they played at a 92-point pace.
Which is like fringe playoffs, maybe it's wild
fringe,
card.
Fringe playoff. Very then the next year, they had 50 points. Again, in a short COVID shortened season, but the top teams had like, you know, 60 to 70, basically. Mm-hmm. And then this year, they're on a 61-point pace, which is, you know, really rough. And they're only projected, like, depending on what you looked at, somewhere between 85 and 87 points. So it's not like they're projected to be good either, right? Mm-hmm. Like even on paper, even in any model you looked at, they were, you know, fated to be bad. And that's what happens when you bring in a combination of Ekman Larson, Travis Hamonic, who didn't really end
no,
up.
No, he didn't play. No, he had he got personal reasons. So he got, Tucker Pullman.
He went out. Yeah, and then Tucker Pullman, and then built the defense around guys like Eric Goodbranson, Tyler Myers. Just like a complete disaster. Like he has no ability to fill in role players. He got the stars, luckily. You know, whether he drafted them or Brackett or whoever, take credit for that. But all the guys that they put around them, Jay Beagle, Anton Roussel, all those defensemen I mentioned, just no capability. And also, he's given away two first-round picks that ended up being Connor Garland and JT Miller, which are great, great players, but also not really helpful in their current state, like, when they're going to have top five picks.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because they gave it to Arizona, right? And Arizona's going to be have like basically on pace for two top 10 picks this year now.
Yep. Yep.
Arizona's doing it right.
Vancouver could very well be bottom three in the NHL this year. So that's
JT Miller
fun.
The JT Miller trade definitely worth it if you did other things.
No, well, like they made that trade. JT Miller's a good player. They made that trade.
Can someone see what the pick was that JT Miller came from? Can someone do that research? I guess Martin, that would, you know.
Martin's picking it. Yeah, going to go do it.
Martin picked that up. Because I just want to know who the player was that ended up getting drafted. Because depending on if they're sick or not, but again, like JT Miller, I don't harp on that trade too much. Because at the time I was like, I don't know if you want to be giving up a top first round pick with this team, but JT Miller's exceeded anyone's expectations. Right?
Shakir. Like
they traded it. Yeah, it got traded again to New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay, so at least nobody good got picked up with that pick. Luckily,
that's your boy, Shakir Mukhmadulin.
Yeah, he's my boy, but I don't have a lot of faith in him, unfortunately. Sorry.
So who do you think, my brother, takes most of the blame at this point in Vancouver?
It's the Aquilinis.
Ownership? Yeah.
Yeah. Because Benning's an idiot, right? Or not an idiot, but he's clearly incapable of running a team. So it's not his fault. He's doing what he's been doing. But the Aquilinis have extended him again.
Yeah.
Right? They should have figured this out year three, year four, year five, that this guy has no idea what he's doing, right? And then they re-signed him. Like, it's completely on ownership. I don't even blame Benning anymore because he's clearly incapable. It's like, and he's being kept in the job anyways. Yeah.
Like after year
there's
four,
nothing he can do. There's nothing he can do. He's incapable. Like, he can't improve on his ability to be incapable, you know?
After his fourth year, the blame would be with Benning. But now that it's been 7 years, it's the ownership team. How much?
Yes. Exactly.
How much do you think Green is responsible as well?
Because he's coach. He's not a good coach.
Yeah. He's not a good coach. Yeah, the way Vancouver plays is like there are stylistic things that he could do to improve that team, right? And I actually literally just posted a story on it, so you know it's timely. But ignoring the fact that Benning's given him an awful team, the way Vancouver plays is also really atrocious, right? They give up the most rush chances in the league because their forwards are always behind the play. They never switch play. They always go down the strong side. So it's always just getting blocked and coming back down the ice. Like, they do a bunch of shit that they could just avoid even with the crappy guys that they have on the team right now. Like, there are structural ways to take crappy players and put them into a system where at least they, you know, their slowness and all this other stuff can be accounted for, similar to the Islanders or, you know, a bunch of other teams out there that aren't exactly that great. So it is on Green as well.
Yeah, because I think I was looking at it. They have an average, since Green has been coach, it's like something about every year they have 45% of the goal share, expected goal share. Like that's they continually right. Incapable of controlling play and scoring chances. Incapable. Yeah. I went to school for communications. Please don't correct my grammar or speaking.
Canucks transition game, last year, since it's a bigger sample size, 29th in rush shots, last in rush shots against. So that means they got the least amount of rush shots for and then allowed the most chances the other way again too. That's nice. A coaching thing. There's no way you can be like, if you're the worst at both, you can't even blame the players at this point because it's the system that's doing it to them, right? It's not like they're taking so many chances on one end, so they're giving up a bunch on the other. Like they're screwing up both ways. So prevent at least one of them and you can improve a bit. And then their differential, obviously, since they're 29th and last or 30 and 31st, they're last in the league in their differential. So it is a Travis Green issue, but again, Travis Green isn't a good coach and it's not his fault. Again, he should have been fired a while ago, maybe like 2 years ago. But he hasn't. And so, he can't improve as a coach more than he has clearly, which I think it is a little bit his fault, but regardless, it's on the Aquilinas at this point. This is just a complete disaster.
It's just funny that the goalposts kept moving for Benning. Like when he first already mentioned, they wanted to be a contender in 2 or 3 years. And I mean, they drafted pretty okay-ish. Besser was a steal at what, mid-20s, somewhere around there, right?
Yeah, they got Besser, but the Vertanen and Ulevi picks Ulevi was exactly bad. Yeah, great.
exactly.
But I don't Ederson. Think anyone thought Ulevi was going to be
No.
Yeah.
But then now, like this, I swear it was this past offseason, maybe even last year, he's like, oh, it's hard to, build a team. It's hard to build a contender, hard to build a consistent playoff team. And I'm like,
You haven't even built a improving team, on the bubble playoff team, really.
Yeah.
and that's actually the easiest thing to do in the NHL.
Yeah.
Arguably.
And he's had many
to make a middling team. A middling team is the easiest thing to do. It's hard to completely tear down because not from like a player perspective, but from like a managing the rebuild perspective, and it's hard to build a contender, but being right in the middle is kind of the easiest part. So
yeah. That's why I'm like, when everyone, we'll get to this later, Ken Holland, Detroit Red Wings. I'm like, is it sure? He went to the playoffs for 21 straight years, which is respectable. But again, a lot of the times they were more middling. They also had legendary players. But anyways, Montreal Canadiens. I know we've talked about them quite a bit, so we don't need to go in detail. But it seems like finally media's saying that Montreal is not as good as what they predicted. People over at TSN are saying that they didn't expect Montreal to be this bad. So
I think we all predicted they were going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, everyone did.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now we'll get back into the show.
But I think I made the comment like they lost their starting goalie. I mean, hopefully Price comes back and, maybe he'll play better. But they lost their goalie. They lost their number one defenseman in Shea Weber.
Number one
Cole
center.
Caulfield was useless. Yeah. Cole Caulfield's been useless. Suzuki seems like he's taken a step back, at least to begin this season. I think he's had a pretty hot streak recently. But and then you lose, Deneau, the sheer shutdown center, who was, the whole playoff run shutting down top lines every single night, right?
Yeah. I think we talked about Montreal already,
My thing was more about media finally accepting it rather than just.
Yeah, I mean, it was always ridiculous because the media is stupid, right? Like they're just recency bias all the way. Just very little critical thought for 80% of them. Generally speaking, I think.
But I want to talk about one thing that's happened, Eric, and that's your boy Jeff Petrie has also forgotten how to play hockey.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, After his hot streak beginning of last year for like 20, 25 games, he wasn't good after that until the playoffs, basically. Like, he was basically top of the Norris contenders list 20 games in, and by the end of it, he was, you know, a middling defenseman. So his actual decline in the regular season kind of started last year, to be fair to him.
But I mean, you or expected him to be the number one. He looked like he could be take over for Weber, because he's always been a really good, like, two-way
guy.
He's
also,
right?
What, 34 now? Like,
I don't think he's that old.
Are you sure?
Someone fact check.
He's old, man. 33. There you go. That's close. He's older now, right? Like, and a lot of his ability comes from speed. It's very similar to, you know, separate topic altogether, why Pietrangelo has completely fallen off this year, right? Like, very fast, aggressive defenseman can fall off a lot quicker. Look at Doughty, look at Erik Karlsson, Alex Pietrangelo, look at now Jeff Petrie. Look at all those kinds of, like, really aggressive, or PK Subban even, right? Like, all of these guys, when they rely a lot on speed and aggression, they fall off a lot quicker. So I think, you know, again, I you never know what year they're going to fall off, but they always have a fall off
later in his career too.
Yeah, which is also kind of weird. But that was an Edmonton thing, I feel, generally speaking.
Yeah.
I feel like he had it, and it was just Edmonton completely screwing him up, as they usually do. I feel like we should talk about Edmonton as well, but we'll talk about them after this.
We're talking about the Islanders teams first. Yeah.
We got to talk about
Anaheim. We can go to the Islanders now.
Well, really, the theme right now isn't really bad teams; it's bad management and
team bold, say what you teams want. That people thought were going to be good and then are worse than they expected.
Yeah, but I think we're focusing more on the management side of things, and the reason why I wanted to talk about the Oilers is because this stat came across my Twitter feed earlier today.
We'll get to it later.
Islanders first, because Islanders isn't really bad management. I think they're mostly just underperforming.
No, you got to think about, man, they haven't played their first home game yet. They started the season on, or I think they might have just played their first home game. They started the season on a 13 game road trip. That's insane.
Yeah, 13 game road trip, because the Islanders' new arena wasn't ready yet. UBS Arena wasn't ready yet.
But that has a big impact on things.
And on top of that, you know, they just lost Ryan Pulock, who's, you know, their best defenseman, one of the best defensemen in the NHL, top 20.
I actually didn't even realize that was their schedule.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Luke doesn't follow hockey.
They're
also
only a game below. Like, they're not doing awful.
And the Islanders also, they have 12 players dressed their last game. They had 12 players dressed who have one or zero goals through 13 games.
Yeah, that's really bad. What I was going to say. Their goal differentials, like, they're scoring at a rate of 2 goals a game and letting in goals at a rate of three,
which is foreseeable. Like, if they fuck up a little, they play very defensively, obviously, and they never had very good goals
over their four straight losses.
They lost Eberle.
Yeah, over their four straight losses, they were outscored 19-4. 19-4. That's,
yeah.
They protected Eberle.
It was Matt Martin.
Notably, they've scratched Noah Dobson and a bunch of others, but will not scrap Matt Martin. They're committed.
That's a big thing.
He's definitely a locker room guy, though. Like, say what you will about Matt Martin not being a good on ice guy. I mean, I know he was a player favorite.
You lose a guy like Jordan Eberle, who on a team like the Islanders.
That's pretty bad, but
you need a guy like Eberle.
Yeah, because, like, they only have so many creative playmakers out there. Uh-huh. And actually, they really only had two. They had Barzal and they had Eberle. That was kind of it for them. They have other, like, solid offensive players, Anders Lee. They have Cal Palmieri, who just scored his first goal of the season the other day, which, you know, I called him as a breakout, or not a breakout candidate, but a potential 55-60 point guy. So that's looking real bad. But regardless, you know, they don't have a lot of creativity. They also got rid of Nick Leddy, which is also kind of, you know, you look at the way Detroit's performing right now. Nick Leddy's kind of not a big part of that, but he is a part of that. He's been doing.
Eberle has 8 goals. this year. He would almost put them back to even goal differential.
Yeah, he'd get them much closer to that 19-4 count for the last four games. But yeah, so Eberle's been crazy good, like he was last year, like he was the year before that. Definitely living up to the $6 million contract.
Didn't I tell you during one of our Seattle expansion draft discussions that Eberle was going to be a huge loss for the Islanders because of how well he performed with Barzal? I think that was foreseeable.
Yeah, it was very foreseeable. And the top line's struggling now, and it's evident why. It's because Andersley isn't what he used to be. Barzal's still sick, but Barzal's one guy on a...
Eberle was good at getting whatever he was doing. He was good at finishing and getting in the puck and...
He was very good at finishing. He was very good at making those great passes. He was very good in transition. Like right now, all the Islanders or Islanders competition, I should say, they only need to do is just make sure Barzal can't carry the puck. There's nobody else on his line who can do that. Andersley can't. They tried Josh Bailey there. Josh Bailey hasn't been good at all. So it's a complete mess for the Islanders right now. Yeah, it's just rough. I think Barry Trotz, actually, there's a great quote by Trotz. He said he called the team fragile, and he said that's a word I haven't used very often about our team. So that's...
And they just lost Pollock for like a long time, I saw today.
But the thing is, right, like I think the one thing that the Islanders had was identity. Like, I think that's what pulled that team together, right? Like, I think we've all said it for years now. The Islanders on paper aren't a very good team, right? But they came together. They, you know, everyone uses the same terminology, bought in to the system, blah, 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 blah. So if Trotz is saying, you know, the team's fragile, you know, that's probably worrying for the Islanders even over, you know, the medium term, because they still need to kind of turn this around pretty soon. And it doesn't seem with that language that they've fixed the issue by any means. So, yeah, that's my take. I think that Nick Leddy... Sorry, yep.
I was going to say, do you think the Islanders are still a playoff team?
Or it's so funny. This is the first year I've ever said the Islanders are locked for the playoffs, and then they look like they're going to miss. I think we're all like, yeah, the only one I'm for sure about making the playoffs this year is the Islanders.
That's a tight Metro division.
Yeah.
It's a tight division.
I think like the Islanders, the Blue Jackets look better than expected.
Tenable.
I think the Nick Leddy move hurt them a lot with losing Eberle, with losing Devin Toews the previous year. I just think they lost way too much like puck transition ability, because Nick Leddy, despite all of his flaws, you know, was actually a good passer and puck mover. So I think losing those three over the course of one and a half or one season is kind of a huge knock-on effect. And replacing them with guys like Andy Green, Chara, like the complete opposites, essentially, right? But yeah, that's just my take.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think it's mostly...
I guess we can go to Oilers now.
Yeah, so the stat I wanted to talk about, and then I want to hear Ty's thoughts on this because I know he doesn't like Holland. The Oilers this year so far, without McDavid and Draisaitl on the ice, have been have a 28% goals for percentage. So without McDavid and Draisaitl, they've scored 7 goals and allowed 18 goals.
But I have a question.
Yep.
And a theory.
Yep.
Are McDavid and Draisaitl proving that hockey can be similar to the NBA?
That's almost a fair point. I think that's a fair point.
Literally, McDavid seems dialed in.
But the thing is, there's nobody else like McDavid. Yes. I think that's the issue.
Well,
I don't think you can say hockey's like the, like I can, I see what you mean with like, if you have the guy, You can just drag your team to the playoffs, but there's only one the guy. Yes. The NBA has multiple of the guys, yes. You know?
Probably.
Like, there's like, what, 10 players, probably even more maybe, that if you put them on almost any team, they can kind of drag them to the playoffs. But in the NHL, there's McDavid. Draisaitl's killing it too this year.
You want to know the thing that's crazy, though? And I think it was over the weekend I saw the stat. I know your boys at Evolving Wild, their GAR stat, I think that was the one.
Yeah.
McDavid isn't even a top 20 player by GAR this year.
It's too small a sample size. It doesn't matter.
Okay,
GAR
but
over
saying,
like 20 games is like nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's still a lot of power play points. It's still a lot of, he's giving up a lot.
Yeah. No, I 100%
agree. McDavid's game. Like it's actually crazy how McDavid will just help blow through people. I mean, that goal against the Rangers was insane where he skated through the entire team, right? 1-on-5 and then deked out the goalie in such small area.
That was the most absurd thing I've saw this year.
But then like,
for sure.
That's all that I don't mean to say this. Like he's the best player in the league. Okay, I think there's no doubt about that. Hmm. But he's a cherry picker. I don't know how else to. I mean, you know, we don't like to use that.
Draisaitl's the best player in the league. Come
okay.
On.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw something, and it was like 53% of people polled wanted Draisaitl over Matthews.
I mean, that with this season
to start a franchise.
I feel like that's a fair argument right now with the way he's playing.
And I mean, yeah, Matthews actually hasn't been very good to start the year either, but that's besides the point. Yeah.
I mean, I think they're close enough where you switch a year to year. Like last year, obviously Matthews not even close. This year, Draisaitl and not even close.
But the like before it's really the Oilers game is basically try to survive in your own end and then wait for the team to make a mistake and get a breakaway or 2-on-1 the other way.
Or get a power play.
Nah.
Yeah, you know, man, what? You know,
every single
you know
time
what the
I
issue
see
is.
Draisaitl on the board, it's on a power play. Like, yeah. I swear to God, it's power play merchant.
Which is amazing for fantasy.
He's got nine power play goals of his 17, I think. I don't know how many points it was, but I mean, it's like 50% of his points are easily on the power play.
But I mean, when you're a star player, typically a third of your points are going to come on the power play. Like if you're a star player and you're a point per game guy, typically you're going to have 20 to 30 power play points and then 50 even strength points over an 80 game season, basically. So it's like they're especially good, but it's not like it and kind of absurd, but it's also kind of natural for players to rely on star players to rely on the power play a little bit more than others. Right.
What I wanted to say about that stat, talking about Ken Holland and GMs, is that like he also hasn't done anything great.
He's done nothing good because it's actually gone worse over time. So let me say it. So 2016, 2017, the play without McDavid and Draisaitl, which, you know, they 2015, 2016, they weren't even close to the same players. But regardless, they had all the players without them. Had a 54% goals for percentage. So that means they scored 37 goals and only allowed 31. So they outscored their competition. That was great. And then it's just awful from there on outward. It drops down to 38%, then to 36%, back up to 38%, back down to 37%, and then this year 28%. So, you know, Ken Holland was brought in for one thing, to fix the team around McDavid and Draisaitl. Instead, he's actually made it actively worse, and McDavid and Draisaitl just got exceptionally better.
Carrying.
And
that.
they got some extra great goaltending last year from Mike Smith. That's all he has not done anything else outside of that. So you're talking about like incompetent management. Like you have to put Ken Holland on that list now. Because there was tons of good depth available in the offseason.
You could have done that before he left Detroit, man.
Yeah.
The guy was going down.
The thing is, there's so much good depth available. Like, look at, you know, again, don't want to bring this up to the least, but Kampf and Kasha, right? Both killing it right now on the Leafs. You look at, you know, Like any team in the NHL, you can find good depth guys that they picked up this offseason who are outscoring their competition. And somehow Ken Holland for 2 years in a row now, or 3 years. Did he start 3 years ago or 2 years? 3 years ago. Years. He hasn't actually improved the depth to even get to 40% or 45%.
Can you name who's playing on the Oilers' third and fourth line right now? Who's the Oilers' third line center?
It's not Kyle Turris.
They got Warren Fogle.
Oh, yeah. And Warren Fogle has not been good. Warren Fogle has not been good. And he was traded for Ethan Bear, who's killed it in Carolina so far. So that trade also, you know, again, Holland actively making the team worse.
I think you can blame Ken Holland for, well, you 100% can blame Ken Holland for how long the Detroit Red Wings rebuild has taken. Like, I think it could have been a lot shorter.
100%.
If he actually knew what the fuck he was doing. And he just got inducted in the Hall of Fame.
I think, so this is what I think is really fascinating. I think Detroit Red Wings, near the end of their playoff, like however long they're in the playoffs run, I think they tried to sacrifice too much to stay that rather than just accepting where they were. And that's 100%. I think they just wanted to keep the record at that point.
But I also Ty, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the last couple of years where they had their playoff run, they were like the bottom seed or like the last seed to get in, the eight seed. So
My whole thing with Ken Holland is, and you know, we don't need to get into this whole conversation, but you know, he was gifted generational talents. Lidstrom, Datsyuk, Zetterberg. Like, that's what won him those cups, right?
And if he wins cups in Edmonton, he was gifted
McDavid and Draisaitl. Again, almost one generational and one for sure generational.
And then Nuge, who's still decent too. So
yeah. So it's like he's hopping. If Edmonton wins a cup, he's hopping just from one team with generational talent to carry him to another.
Puljujarvi is still good. Like it,
yeah, Puljujarvi's like actually looking good.
Hyman's
look good, and, so but, you know, give him a little
Holland
bit.
But Holland should
there.
Not get credit for any of the, like any no. of this.
No, it was like the argument with Babcock. It's like, oh, how much was Babcock responsible for the cup wins versus the players he had? And it's the same thing with Holland. It's like, what players were he gifted? He was gifted versus, you know, building actual teams.
Holland, Luke's right. He definitely just maintained that 20 years. And I think he saw that nomination into the Hockey Hall of Fame and was like, I'm just going to keep it going.
Until but I mean, respect to that, man. It is hard to make the playoffs 20 years in a row.
Yeah, 100%. I just think the game has passed him by at the end of the day. Yeah. Whether he was a good – I don't want to rehash whether he was that great of a GM in Detroit or not, because, you know, how many of us actually remember in detail the moves he made between 2000 and 2000, let's say 12 or something like that, when Detroit was actually competitive. But you can for sure say the last decade has not been
Ken
good
decade.
At all. It's not been like, there's nothing he's done that's been good. He completely screwed up that Detroit team, overpaid a bunch of guys,
Danny
a bunch
DeKeyser,
of depth guys.
Darren Helm. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Justin Abdelkader. it was just a complete mess. And then same thing, he's going to, you know, he hasn't done it as bad in Edmonton, but he's failed to put a team around them. So that's the issue.
Can we talk about how sick the Ducks are?
Yeah, what the fuck happened to Getzlaff? He just freaking he just turned 25 again. Like, what the fuck is going on with Ryan Getzlaff?
It's all assists. And he's
doesn't matter.
Troy Terry's been great too.
Yeah, and Troy Terry. Yeah. Holy crap, Troy Terry, man. I mean, I always liked Troy Terry. I feel like I've said that for a while now, but I didn't think he was this.
And I've always liked Getzlaff. Like, Getzlaff's always been.
I mean, but Getzlaff also hasn't been good in like 4 years
not
now.
For a while now.
crazy. Yeah. The change up in Anaheim, and I still think it's all unsustainable. But
Oh yeah. I mean,
but also like the Pacific teams are like that. I think Martin was right about the LA Kings have been good. I think he predicted that to go into the season.
Did he?
And yeah, LA's getting fucked by injuries. Like Drew Doughty started super hot and got killed with some injury. I forget what it was. And then that Sean Walker guy is out for a long time. But yeah, well, it was foreseeable. Deneau is sick. Like the biggest mistake ever was letting Deneau walk in Montreal.
Yeah. Like, and if they did, were planning on letting Deneau walk, they should have rebuilt. Yep. They should have let, you know, trade Gallagher, trade all these guys and restart from scratch. Trade Jeff Petrie and just restart. You have Nick Suzuki, you have Cole Caulfield, you have Romanov, you have all those other prospects, Paling. I can't remember all the other guys off the top of my head, but you have all those guys rebuild and they just didn't. So that was the big mistake.
What Deneau allows you to do is rely less on Kopitar being defensively good and let Kopitar be more offense.
Yes.
Because in his older age, Kopitar obviously has fallen off a little, but
the acquisition, like Arvidsson's worked out very well for them too. Other than his, you know, he got injured for a bit there, but besides that, he's been almost point per game when he's been in there. Mm-hmm. I drafted in fantasy. That's why I know that. But yeah.
Yeah.
What other topics did we have, Luke, on the docket?
I had Dion Phaneuf. I know that he's played on all of our favorite teams, the Senators and the Leafs. So I know that.
I thought you retired called him a while pylon. Ago, to be honest.
I honestly thought he retired a while ago, too.
I had no idea.
Like, yeah. I was like, since 2019.
All I remember is everyone was like talking about how they thought this was big brain. They were predicting that he would have like a front office job with the Leafs soon. But I remember him then being rumored to be hanging out with Brendan Shanahan a lot like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And
I do remember
all of Leafs Twitter was following it. Then all of a sudden they're acting very big brain about predicting that. But I think he'd be a good.
I still like have a hard time imagining Phaneuf deciding to come back to Toronto after like everything that I just have a hard time seeing it. I'm just like, why would he want to come back here? Leafs fans treated him like shit for years. And it wasn't really his fault. Like he was an okay second pairing defenseman thrust into being a number one. Like it was not his fault. And Pete, like, you know, I'm sure if we looked up Ty group chat messages from his years in Toronto, Ty's called them all sorts of names.
Oh, I could probably look it up in the group chat right now, to be honest. That'd be actually pretty funny.
I messaged you guys about hockey back then. I mean,
you definitely messaged Luke or Robert and whoever else. Like, I'm sure you must have said.
But
some
also,
awful
I wasn't like that was when the Leafs were bad, and I wasn't like fully invested. Like, I become fully invested once they become good. I mean, I've always been a Leafs fan, but
once
it wasn't
they
like
became
was,
supposed yeah. to be good, you mean?
Yeah. And now I really closely follow it.
I looked up in the chat from our high school group the word Phaneuf. And there's only one result, and it said Ty would fuck the shit out of Dion Phaneuf. I don't know why. I do know why, because one of our friends' brother's name is Dion, and that's what it was about. And then I said Dion Phaneuf. But that's the only message in the group chat about Dion Phaneuf.
There you
okay,
go.
So there you go. He hasn't said Tor.
It's very on brand with what you'd expect us to talk about. But I don't know. I was surprised he got like that much of a fanfare from the Leafs. Like, I know he was here for a long time and captain.
He was our captain
I don't know why people were excited about that.
It's just because he's captain.
He was a good guy.
Like captains. He's a good person.
He does seem like a good guy. Yeah. I always felt bad for him. I was like, Jesus Christ, this poor man. He's trying his best out there.
His goddamn hardest.
You know, there's one thing you can't say about him is that he didn't try. You know,
I do miss his hits.
There are some
good looking wife.
Yeah, you watched Hockey Wives? What's it called? The Hockey Wives? Is that the one? That's a show?
Apparently, he's the one that set up Tessa Virtue and Morgan Riley. So
Oh, that's a huge dub for the kid, man. If he did that, he created Toronto's power couple right there. That's big. He deserves a job on the Leafs just for that alone. I agree.
And Riley deserves to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame for that alone.
Phaneuf deserves one quarter of Morgan Riley's salary for the rest of his career. landing him Tessa Virtue.
Dion's still getting that paid by an NHL team.
He's getting paid by the Sens, isn't he?
I think by the Sens and by the Kings. I think both. Because it was like he was traded from the Sens to the Kings and whatever.
Well, if he retires, anyways, then I think that's whatever. Yeah.
Quarter of Morgan Riley's new contract goes to Phaneuf for landing him Tessa Virtue. It's a must. It's a must. Okay, too good for him. Sorry, Morgan Riley.
Next topic was Penguins being sold. I don't know. This is pretty new. I didn't really read much on it, but they're sold to the same organization owners that own Boston, the Boston Red Sox, which is pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Sure Pittsburgh and Boston are rivalry cities in almost any sport.
Phaneuf is getting paid by both the Sens and LA for another
Eric was
this
right.
year and another year.
Eric's always right, but well, that's besides the point.
Yeah. Well, a thanks,
decent
Martin,
amount of money, too.
Oh, shit. Francesco Aquilini just... Oh, no. Never mind. This is fake.
Is it Mr. Booth?
Yeah, it's Mr. Booth. I almost fell for it.
on the chat or on the podcast recording, he almost fell for Mr. Booth. I should clip that, post it on Twitter, and have Mr. Booth share that.
Mr. Booth.
I always, whenever I see something that just doesn't feel right, I go and check the username. Right. So I was like, nah. Well, anyways.
I'm looking at Mr. Booth right now. He's changed his profile picture. So.
And apparently, Francesco Aquilini blocked him too.
I see that. Yep. I believe that. He's a pretty active guy on Twitter, I think. The Penguins were sold. Do we think this will actually lead to anything different? Why do you think, I know they've been trying to sell the Penguins for a while, but with all the success they've had, especially in the last 10 years, I'm surprised that the owners would even want to sell.
Maybe it's not. It's so Mario Lemieux has like a majority stake in them. And then there was another dude and they sold the other dude's stake.
Okay.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. So,
I mean, I feel
like they look at it and they say that the Malkin and Crosby's careers are coming to their
That's what I was about to say.
So,
because the last time they lost their generational talents, they cratered back down until Crosby joined in, basically, right? Like they everything.
But they went from Lemieux to Crosby.
Well, it wasn't, but then they were like the worst.
But it wasn't,
team.
Yeah.
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 They were the worst team and were like basically bankrupt. Like I was saying, like back in the mid 2000s, they were about to be sold to the BlackBerry guy and moved to Hamilton, and then the NHL vetoed that.
Yeah. So. They owe Crosby like a stupid amount of money. I feel like Crosby has not gotten paid enough for the value that he brought to that franchise. He probably literally added like $300 million in value or more. Just because he should, or I guess him and Malkin, you can split it up between both of them. Probably like 60-40 Crosby and Malkin. They did not get paid enough for the, they did not get paid enough for the value that they brought.
Interesting. Oh. I agree.
And LeBron James has a stake in the group that's buying the part of the Penguins. Because he's part owner in Liverpool, which is huge. He got a major return on that, and then he also obviously, like Ty said, Luke said the Red Sox as well. But the Penguins right now are worth $650 million.
Damn. Yeah, that's probably a good way of looking at it of why they sold now.
Luke, you gotta use your brain sometimes.
Sometimes not using my brain allows us to fill in the gaps.
Just billionaires selling to other billionaires. They might have literally just done it because they wanted some cash flow to.
Billionaire didn't want the tax break anymore, and he wanted a little more cash.
Yeah, who knows behind
the billionaire's 85 years old wants. Yeah,
yeah, he's just like fuck it.
Wants seven more yachts.
He wants to buy a super yacht like Jeff Bezos. You know.
Yeah. The last topic, I think. Oh, we also have the Sens COVID, but Hockey Hall of Fame inductees. Obviously, Jerome Iginla, Marian Hossa.
Who's, who's, These are last year's inductees.
Yeah, the 2020. So is there going to be a second round of inductees for this year? Are they like,
are they just skipping
another one?
I think they would skip one year. That would make sense.
I think they
why wouldn't they skip 2020?
Because they were already announced.
They already decided.
Yeah, they were already decided.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know why they just didn't do like a ceremony last week and then a ceremony
one year
this week, but
or one episode.
They seem really boring. So like to gather all those people back again, be like, fuck this, man.
Eric, you know what we should do one episode?
What?
Okay. I'm going to get a list of players who are like fringe Hall of Famers and we can debate if they belong in the Hall of Fame.
I was just going to ask. I was just going to ask who do you think should be in the Hall of
Fame. Never mind. Luke, we're saving that for another episode.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, what do you think about the last year's, this year's picks then? Ken Holland, Drumkin, Lemarian Hosa.
I think they all deserve to be in there.
Who's the woman? I don't want to forget the woman's name. Pierre.
Saint-Pierre.
Right?
Or something.
Francis Saint-Pierre.
Canceled.
I got to be honest. I don't know who that is.
Wasn't Lowe also in there? I don't know if Lowe deserved to be there.
Like a lot of these, like especially for the ownership and the founders side of things.
No, Lowe is like a player. Lowe is a player.
Oh, is he? I thought he was the owner.
He was on the Gretzky team.
Okay. Kim Saint-Pierre, Kevin Lowe, Ken Holland, Doug Wilson.
Kevin Lowe, there it is.
Isn't Kevin Lowe doing something? Kevin Lowe is doing something in the organization for the Oilers. Or he was.
Yeah. He did. He did have a role in the.
Oh, was he builder? Too.
I don't know if he got in for player or builder, but he was. In management on the Oilers, though I doubt he got in for builder based off of the Oilers' recent performances.
I think didn't Holland get in for builder?
Yeah, Holland definitely got in for builder.
Of course. So did Doug Wilson, I think.
But a lot of those guys for builders are just there because of their 10 years in the
Doug
NHL.
Wilson got in.
Doug Wilson's a interesting choice. Has he won a cup?
No.
Nope.
He's been with the Sharks, I think, throughout his whole career.
Is that true?
Leadership, anyways.
Someone fact-check that?
I don't think Kevin Lowe does. Like, I'm not seeing a deservingness from Kevin Lowe. I played with Wayne Gretzky, and
I mean, he had 1,500 points.
Kevin Lowe, you're looking at the wrong Kevin Lowe.
Oh, sorry. He had 400. Oh, I was looking at his penalty minutes. I just assumed it was right because he just like every time Gretzky got a point, he was on the ice. And...
But that's the thing. He didn't even do that. Like,
So he had 430 points in the highest scoring era of the NHL and on a team with Gretzky. That's interesting. Are you sure it wasn't for builder? Though, let's see his coaching.
No, it's definitely not. He talked about player in his speech. He talked about being a player.
Do you watch it?
No, I just saw some highlights.
I see.
He talked about he was the first ever draft pick of the Edmonton Oilers. I feel like that's like the thing that makes him a known person.
I'm just looking at every like all of his, you know, great for him. He made it to the NHL
like
and everything.
It's like Reed Duke.
Yeah, that's actually a good comparison.
I don't know if Doug Wilson got in for his playing career or his. It must be
Doug Wilson was a builder.
Was he a builder?
100% was a builder.
Because I mean,
I never understand like
his regular like his, so weird. His career probably was good enough to be in for other than not winning a cup. I feel like he could have probably got in just based off of his playing career. 827 points in 1,000 games as a defenseman.
That's not like a guaranteed, especially if you don't have cups or medals. That's not a guaranteed.
I know. Well, he had two Norris trophies.
Definitely the reason Kevin Lowe is in is 100% all of the Stanley Cups he won with Gretzky.
Yeah, and that's the issue with doing it like by stuff like cups.
If Hossa didn't have cups, it would be questionable if Hossa would get in.
You're right.
I don't know. Yeah.
And he made it to, what, five finals, good. Three cups, right?
Yeah.
So,
Hossa had a good
career. Yeah, if he was stuck on freaking Buffalo, like he wouldn't have had a. Yeah, you're right. It's all dependent on where you play, or at least unless you're like insane. Yeah.
Drumaginla probably got in more gold medals.
Gold medals. Heart. He had the assist on Crosby's golden goal, right? So
I don't think there's any debate there.
That alone gets you a Hall of Fame.
Also, there is no debate on Aginla's career, though. Like, he was a better, he had 1,300 points in comparison to those 800 points.
Yeah, and yeah, he had 1,300 points in the modern NHL.
Doug Wilson was a defenseman.
Yeah, fair.
Marian Hossa, then, is, I think, a comparable player to Jerome Iginla in terms of, because Jerome Iginla wasn't a points per player game on average.
No.
Well, he only wasn't a point per game average player just because he played till he was like 37.
Iginla also got in based on like leadership. Like, he was the captain of Calgary for like ever.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, Marian Hossa is not far behind.
I think it's because he was Calgary's franchise player. Like, I think that's the way you look. It can't just be talent based. I think it's like he's their franchise. Marian Hossa was never really the guy for a franchise. He, like, all of the cup winning teams he was on,
he was a very good tertiary guy. Yes.
He's amazing. Like, don't get me wrong, freaking killed it. But, you know, he had Datsyuk and Crosby, right?
He was a 100 point player.
And Patrick Kane and Devin Taves. Sorry?
Yeah. He had over 500 goals.
Marian Hossa?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Again, not arguing how good Hossa was, just saying, like, he was never the guy for a franchise the way Iginla was, because every cup he won was, or cup final he went to, he was the third or second guy.
When he was cup, he was the guy for Ottawa and the guy for Atlanta.
That's true, but but none of those are... No. Eh.
Man, it sucks. I'm looking at it.
Was Hossa the guy in Ottawa at the time?
Oh, yeah.
Marian Hossa has 2.5 times as many playoff games as Jerome Iginla.
He is what?
Marian Hossa had 2.5 times as many playoff games
as that's obviously going to happen when you flip between Pittsburgh, Detroit, and Chicago in all of their best years, right? Like, he literally went to the three places.
Hossa's biggest asset was figuring out where it was going to be good.
But that's actually what players should do, and players are good at that asset. So Hossa deserves Hall of Fame just because he's one of the like five NHL players in history who learned how to evaluate a team and go, this is a team that's going to win the cup.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I go, this team will win a cup.
Yeah, exactly. But no players do that. First off, players take 1-year deals the way he did. And even if they did, they don't pick the right teams regardless. AKA
Jason Spezza's done that 3 years in a row.
Exactly. There you go. Should have just joined up with the Lightning, took a league min deal, and fucking won some cups. But
let's see if Corey Perry gets that this year.
Corey Perry
was on the wrong side of the losing.
I mean, Corey Perry at least chose somewhat, right? You know, he went to two cup finals, though the most unlikely of cup finals.
Yeah, the unlikely.
Versus Hossa, you know, going to Detroit and Pittsburgh were kind of obvious that they'd be contenders. So, I think that, like, can you guys think of any other NHL players that have done that? I can't think of any.
Flipped?
That actually know how to predict which teams are going to be good or not. I think Pat NHL Maroon. Players are like notoriously. They actually, there you go. Pat Maroon, not good enough to get in the Hall of Fame, but
no, one I know, but I mean, guys he's won three cups in a row, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, last topic, and then I got to go.
St. Louis. Yeah, last topic. Sens and COVID.
Yeah.
Sens and COVID, was it? Martin?
Sens and COVID as the last one. What do you guys, I mean, obviously, Martin, you probably have a better idea of it, but they don't have nearly enough players to play. What was the most interesting thing about this to me is that it looks like from a legal perspective, pulling out of games due to COVID allows the NHL to use a kind of like protocol or policy written in their Olympic participation that they can pull out if they deem it unsafe.
The Sens literally had to.
But
they couldn't play.
I thought that was an interesting kind of like footnote on everything that's happening.
What happened to, we'll get back to that in a second. I'm just curious. What happened to like if teams had to forfeit games because of COVID that they just just a loss, right?
That was going to be if like players were unvaccinated.
Right. But okay, so they're 100% vaccinated, so they don't. Okay, I forgot about that part. Okay, yeah.
Which is fair. Right. Because literally, which is, yeah, like, fair. You can't, you know, you do as much as you can, especially considering we're in Ontario and you cannot operate having COVID. Like, you're not supposed to go out and stuff in Ontario if you have COVID.
Yeah, you can't go to a restaurant. You couldn't get into the Sens Arena.
I keep freaking out that, like, if you go to a restaurant and, like, there's close contact and, like, that's still a thing, like, they still contact you, you're not supposed to go out then either. I'm like, fuck that noise.
Because if you just go to any club and one person has COVID, you're fucked. You're essentially fucked. It's just, it's that easy.
And there's been outbreaks in Kingston clubs and stuff. So
Okay.
University towns are having pretty hard time right now.
Back to the Olympic participation. Do you think we're going in two months? 2 months?
Honestly, I forgot, but I think they have to. Will they?
The NHL will probably make a stupid decision. They've had to since 2014, but they haven't. So,
yeah, will the NHL do something stupid? I mean, I could see it 100% being likely that they don't go. But
man,
I think then
I don't know. I don't.
The NHL players will be very upset.
Ovechkin was almost going to go last time.
Bettman will do whatever the owners want this time. Which he does every time, but like he's on the hot seat and he's going to appease them. And they're looking at this loophole and they're like, fuck yes, because the owners probably are not pumped.
So are you predicting no Olympics, Martin?
I don't know the situation well enough. I don't know how many owners are against it.
I would think the majority of owners are against it. Yeah. Yeah. Considering they haven't gone for years yet, so or two past Olympics, but at least we're gonna find we're finally gonna see McDavid, Crosby, and MacKinnon on the same team for the first time ever. That's and competitive hockey, not all star bullshit. Like that, that's what I'm excited. Like I'm so excited for that. It's gonna be so hyped to watch.
Yeah, I really hope it happens. So.
And this is like Crosby's last chance too.
Yeah, I think I honestly like it sounds stupid, but like I feel like the NHL has to go because this is Crosby's last Olympics. There's no way he's making the team in another four years. I won't say no way, but very unlikely.
They love their legacy picks out there, though.
They do, but yeah, especially don't pick 40-year-olds very often. Crosby will be 38 at that point.
Well, I mean, I think Ovechkin would be a sure thing going next
Russia's going until he's 50,
even when he's retired from the NHL, I think. Like, I would put money on it. He goes until he's 50.
Yeah, but
Russia's also a weaker team. Czech Republic, yeah.
So I have a question. Like in terms of the policy of rescheduling games, does that go to the end of the year or are there breaks built in throughout the year that allows for that? Like to me, it's – what if they get to game 79, they have to reschedule three games with two teams that are, or with only teams that aren't in a playoff spot where the games don't matter. Like to me, I just don't understand playing those games. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but like, who cares? Is it a yet to be determined thing?
No, they'll 100% reschedule those games because
they did it last year. Remember last year they were playing the playoffs started and then,
they'll do it. The Ottawa Senators are going to be playing in May or whenever playoffs are, sometime. Ottawa Senators prediction won't be in the playoffs, but we'll be playing during the playoffs.
But they have to play somebody.
Yeah, what if the team that they play is in the playoffs?
Yeah, they're going to have to fuck around with the schedule basically and figure that out.
That's so lame. Because
the first game they missed was New Jersey, right? I think so. Yep.
Yeah,
New Jersey might not make the playoffs and it won't be an issue, but there will be other teams.
Anyway, Ty's gotta go.
Thanks everyone for listening to this podcast. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.